Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. This week, I want to talk about group practices, because I know a lot of dietitians involved in them, whether they're the owner or the dietitian employee, and they're feeling stressed out. If you've been considering starting or joining a group practice, or if you're in one and feeling incredibly overwhelmed, keep listening. And to those of you who are like, nope, definitely not interested in that, I think you'll still take a lot away when it comes to setting boundaries, avoiding burnout, and navigating group and employee-employer dynamics. So before we get started, I have to say I have learned a new lesson today, and that is don't eat a smoothie bowl for lunch before sitting down to record all of your podcast episodes for the month. Just did that, and I feel like I've got like all this hoarseness in my throat right now. I don't know. We're going to go with it. We're going to see how it goes, but just a little bit of a heads up if I seem a little bit, I don't know, more nasally, more hoarse, more whatever today. But what I really want to talk about today is something that a dietitian a few weeks ago asked me to cover on the podcast, and that's group practices. Now, this dietitian had recently joined one, and in addition to the normal uneasiness of getting her bearings as a new dietitian in a new job, she was feeling extra overwhelmed by the lack of boundaries and the workload involved. I have now worked with a handful of dietitians who work within group practices, and the experience is honestly pretty consistent across the board, so much so that we definitely need to talk about it because the situation isn't good. Here's what tends to happen. By no means happens all the time. It's not universal. It's not that there aren't great practices out there, but this is what I tend to notice. A dietitian starts a private practice. It suddenly takes off, and they realize they can't handle it alone anymore. They're going nuts, trying to accommodate all of the referrals and inquiries, taking on too many clients, and probably on the verge of burnout themselves if they're not already in it. So they decide they're going to hire a dietitian. And maybe the decision is a little bit rushed because they weren't expecting to need to hire a team so quickly, so they weren't prepared. They scramble to get everything in place, and they hire someone to start. The dietitian who takes the job takes it for the hope of a better work-life balance. For lack of a better phrase, I can't stand it, but it gets the job done. So better work-life balance, whatever that means. Or to get into counseling without the barriers and overhead of owning their own practice. It honestly, to them, sounds like a dream job. They get in, and suddenly they're drowning too. The lead dietitian is still overwhelmed. They're not used to having an employee. They're used to being a sole business owner. They're nervous about leaving a piece of their business that they've worked so hard to build in the hands of another dietitian who may or may not be a total stranger. The contracted dietitian starts to feel the overwhelm too. The pay is actually not as good as they thought once they factor in all of the admin work that they're not paid for, like charting, calling therapists, and sometimes billing. So they take on more clients each day to try to earn the amount that they expected. And since the practice is so busy, they also pressure themselves or maybe feel pressure from the lead dietitian to pack their schedules and say yes to everyone who inquires, which leaves them with less time for the admin work that they still have to do. And so suddenly this quote-unquote part-time job of seeing maybe 25 to 30 clients a week that, you know, maybe you thought was going to give you all of this free time, and which in your heads is only 25 to 30 hours and seems totally doable, is turning into a full-time job. Even as the lead dietitian continues to hire more dietitians, the waitlist grows, and all of the dietitians are working hard. No one is practicing really great boundaries. Everyone is stressed the F out. Everyone involved. It's essentially a dumpster fire. Now, again, are all practices like that, like all group practices? Of course not. If you're part of an exceptional one that is built on solid boundaries and has an eye for practitioner self-care and capacity, that's amazing. They exist, and I'm hopeful more will shift into this way of practicing moving forward. But if you're running a practice that feels more like it's running you, or you're part of a group practice and you feel like you're drowning in work and clients, take a deep breath. Let's break it down. The issues that I see with group practices are as follows. Number one, lack of time boundaries. Number two, a tendency to take on more clients than is within a practitioner's capacity. Number three, inadequate pay for the amount of work involved. And number four, a gross underestimation of how much admin time is involved for all parties. Now, first in this episode, I'm going to be addressing all four of these from the perspective of the practice owner as well as the employee or contract dietitian. So first, let's talk about owning the practice. Now, I tend to work with your employees or contracted dietitians in my supervision program if you're the owner. So I tend to see the other side of it, but through them, I see you as an owner struggling too. A lot of dietitians have a hard time setting boundaries, and I see this a lot with private practice owners. It's a combination of a lot of things from the owner's end. When you're building a business, you don't have the money to delegate as much, so you wind up doing everything or most things yourself. That leads you to working more hours than you anticipated to get the business established. You also wear lots of different hats and juggle a lot of different responsibilities. Building a business, it's really hard, and so you get used to putting in those extra hours. It becomes the norm for you. And then there's the fact that you genuinely want to help people, so you wind up saying yes to all of the clients. Part of that is scarcity mindset, wanting to take anyone who's willing to pay you, or fearing that if you turn down a referral, you won't get more from that referral source in the future. Part of that is also being a people pleaser, generally having a hard time saying no or wanting to accommodate others. And then part of that is a genuine desire to help people. Maybe other dietitians in your area are already full, or there isn't another dietitian in your area or in your area with the specialty that you have, or maybe there's not another dietitian in your area at all. So you say yes and you take on clients, and suddenly your boundaries are all blurry or broken down and trodden all over. Are you seeing clients at all hours of the day? Are you seeing more clients than you have the capacity for? Are you having a hard time keeping up with all the administrative work? If you're feeling overwhelmed as the owner of the practice, before you hire out, if possible, I recommend you get support on your own boundaries, practices, and capacity. That's huge, both because it will make a big difference in your own level of fulfillment and energy, and also because if you have strong boundaries and a foundation of understanding practitioner capacity, then you will likely have more success in hiring and retaining dietitians with less turnover and better outcomes for your clients. This goes for anyone in a managerial or entrepreneurial position, by the way. Your self-care and your boundaries come first. It's only through those that you're able to lead and help others. Now, eventually, you'll still likely have to hire, either because you've always seen yourself giving back to the field and mentoring other dietitians, or because even the best boundaries can't fully resolve demand once it gets too high. At this point, I want you to consider compensation. I'm not an expert in this area. Deciding whether to make them employees or contract dietitians, figuring out exact compensation, all of that, you're going to want to crunch your own numbers, work with your accountant, likely consult a lawyer to figure out what's best for you. What I can tell you is that you need to seriously consider all of the work and labor that you are going to ask these dietitians to do. They will certainly be doing their own charting. and likely coordinating care with other healthcare professionals like doctors, therapists, people like that? Will they also be doing their own billing? Do you need their help with marketing or social media? How often will you require team meetings, and do you pay them for their time during those? How about all of the time that they spend answering emails, texts, and phone calls from clients and their caregivers? All of those activities add up. Even only requiring a handful of them, those add up. Yes, as an owner, you have to make a living. And so do the dietitians you hire. Know that the less you pay and the more you ask of them, the higher your turnover will be, either because the benefits don't outweigh the costs, or because you run the risk of creating a burnout culture with dietitians taking on more clients than they want to try to earn enough money to pay their own bills. And that runs them into the ground and leads to them leaving the practice. We have to come at this from an abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset. These dietitians you hire are not your competition. They aren't an expense. I mean, they are, right? They are an expense technically, but really what they are assets to your business. They are invaluable. They allow you to grow and reach more people and do more of the things that you love. So we need to nurture them and foster good relationships and trust and boundaries with them so they also feel fulfilled. This requires a great deal of trust. You've put so much time and energy into your business, and now suddenly a stranger, or maybe a friend or a former colleague, is coming in to help you. You're used to doing it all yourself. You're used to being in on all of the client conversations and treatment plans. If we aren't careful, hiring someone with this mindset can lead to a lot of micromanaging, or at the very least, anxiety on your part. It's not easy to hand over a piece of something you've worked so hard to build to someone else. It's not easy to let them take some clients and represent you and your business. Even when you take the time to outline your business values, something that we'll be talking about in a new episode in, I want to say it's 3 weeks. I think it's the first week of September. So stay tuned for that. But we're going to be talking more about business values. And so say you take the time to outline those and you really work to find someone who represents and aligns with those values. It's still not easy to give up that control. It's scary, it's vulnerable, and yeah, it has some degree of risk to it. You have to be ready for that when you hire. Sure, train the new dietitians. Be abundantly clear on expectations. And then you got to let them spread their own wings. You have to be the support system, the mentor. You have to be the owner, not a helicopter parent hovering over everything they do. It's only going to add stress. Remember, you're hiring them to ease your plate, not to give you one more thing to keep an eye on. Now, these are all things to think about if you haven't hired, but maybe you've already hired dietitians, and maybe you haven't considered a lot of these things. Maybe you're super burnt out and overwhelmed, and even after hiring a few dietitians, you still have a wait list, and suddenly you're responsible for managing them on top of everything else. Okay, now is a great time to start with some of this stuff. You can listen to my episodes on boundaries. I had one just last month on 5 time-based reasons you're burning out, and that can be a great place to start. And then reach out for support. You deserve someone in your corner. Supervision can be incredibly helpful for practice owners, especially ones building a group practice, because it's a lot to juggle and handle. And when everyone in your practice is leaning on you for support, who are you turning to? And then once you get the support, once you lay this foundation, you can make it a practice-wide effort. We can work together on helping you and your whole team with boundaries, organization, time management, and communicating effectively so that no one feels burnt out, so that you don't have to worry about turnover or micromanaging. And so you can trust each other, support each other, and you don't feel like you're drowning anymore. This all comes down to a culture shift, and it's a lot more effective when it comes from you as an owner. But maybe you're listening and you're not the owner and you're like, yeah, all that sounds great, but what am I supposed to do about it as someone who just works in the practice? For someone who is a contract or employee dietitian within a group practice, you're not in charge of a lot of the decisions. You're the dietitian that the owner hired, and you're feeling burnt out and overwhelmed too. Now, hopefully my starting with the owner's perspective reminds us all that our boss is likely as stressed out and overwhelmed as we are. They're feeling overworked and burnt out and like they've got way too much on their plates too. And hopefully any practice owners listening will take some time to listen to this next section geared toward the employees to see where they're coming from. We have to try to understand each other first. This isn't like the owners are the bad guys or the employees aren't pulling their weight or anything negative on either side. This is both sides are hurting. Both sides have work to do. And we have to work together to reach a more confident, functional, and fulfilling place. So if you're working as a dietitian within a group practice and you're feeling overwhelmed, let's chat about the different aspects of this. First, the boundaries thing. And you know what? We're going to talk about the client capacity thing too while we're here, because there is some overlap. These issues can show up in a lot of ways. Maybe your boss group texts late at night or early in the morning or both. Maybe your clients text or email a lot. Maybe you're struggling to keep up with all of the admin work on top of your clients. Maybe you're seeing more clients than you feel is within your capacity, but you feel pressure to keep saying yes, either because the other dietitians in the practice are, or because you've seen the waitlist and you just feel bad if you're not like pulling your weight, in quotes. Again, please listen to the episode on 5 time-based reasons you're burning out when you're done with this one, because it has a lot of really helpful perspectives and strategies for time boundaries. For now, though, I want to ask you one question. Who is placing these expectations on you? Is it your boss or is it yourself? So often I find that we tell ourselves this story of, if someone texts me, I have to answer immediately, no matter what time it is. The story of, I just got hired, so I have to prove myself and say yes to everything or else they'll fire me. The story of, everyone else is taking on all these clients, so if I don't, I'm going to be viewed as inadequate or there's something wrong with me. So many stories can come up here. So what are the stories that you're telling yourself about this? What assumptions are you making without even talking to your employer about it? And what happens if you set your own boundaries? Like, turn off your notifications after a certain time of night. Use a separate app or phone number like Google Voice for your business so that you can turn it off on vacation or your off hours. Don't check your email all the time. Remember, if it's important, it will be a phone call, not an email or a text. So you do these boundaries. Then we have 2 possible outcomes. Either the person on the other end doesn't care, and you were putting 100% of the false sense of urgency on yourself, and the boundary goes unchallenged, which is great because now we have a new healthy boundary. Or the person on the other end doesn't like it. Now, whether that's your boss or a client, that's an invitation for a conversation. For a client, you can clearly articulate communication expectations so they know how quickly or, you know, not quickly they can expect to hear from you. And there's a lot of work that we can do on kind of teaching your clients what the expectations are across the board. When it comes to boundaries with your boss, now, you're not in the position of power in that situation. You are with your client because there's an inherent power differential between practitioner and client or patient. And there's an inherent power differential between, obviously, employee and employer. So you don't really get to walk up to your boss and be like, well, this is how I'm doing things, so get used to it, right? It has to be a more open, honest, authentic conversation of you sharing where you're coming from and asking for clarification on expectations so that you can both be on the same page. This same thing does go with your client capacity, by the way. Are you taking on more because your boss expects you to and will give you flack for not taking on enough? Or are you pressuring yourself to take on more clients because you feel inadequate and insecure when you compare yourself to the other dietitians or you tell yourself some story about the wait list? A lot of times, when my dietitian clients who are part of a group practice sit down with the owner of the practice and communicate their capacity concerns, the boss is completely fine with it, like downright supportive. Not all the time, mind you, that's a different issue, but a lot of times. Again, it's all in our heads. And when we actually put it out in the open, it's fine. It's not a big deal. We can decrease our workload. I had to do this at my community job. I hit the ground running when I started it fresh out of my internship. I said yes to everything, taking on like all these clients, and I was losing my mind. So I sat down with my manager and I worked for a supermarket. That was my community job. So my manager was the store manager and he said, I was wondering when you'd come to me. As in like, I was putting all of this pressure on myself. He was waiting for me to crack. He said, working at a supermarket means there's always more work to do. You're always on. You have to figure out what amount of work and responsibilities works for you and set boundaries around them because there's always going to be more to say yes to. So I started setting boundaries. I changed the length of my sessions. I limited how many people I saw in a day, in a week, at one time. I started a waiting list. I balanced how many community events and lectures and presentations I took on, and all because I was honest with my employer and realized that the pressure to perform was pretty much entirely on myself. So work on the boundaries and the capacity and do it by working with your boss and being open with them. I know there's some fear in that, especially if you're new to the job. If you approach it with maturity and understanding, if you come at it compassionately and authentically, then I'm going to make some sweeping generalizations here. Either your boss is going to understand and work with you in some capacity, or that boss is not someone you want to work for anyway. And to all the bosses listening, I stand by that statement. If your employee is coming to you in vulnerability and confidence, telling you that they're burnt out, they aren't weak or inferior or incompetent. They are trusting you with this conversation. They are being vulnerable with you, and they are trying to do what they can to not burn out and not leave. They're saying, hey, I really want to work here. I like a lot of things about this. And in order to continue working here, I feel like I need to approach some things differently. Can we chat about that and find something that's mutually beneficial to everyone involved? We need to support those among us who step up and admit to having too much on their plates, not punish them for it. So if you work for someone else, obviously a lot of this depends on who you work for, what the dynamic is. So working in supervision, your unique situation can be helpful above and beyond what I can share on a podcast. But ultimately, if you work for someone else and you act with integrity and come at it from a place of authenticity, you know, like coming at it from the angle of you want to support the company, you want to show up better for your clients, and these are your concerns that seem to be making that more challenging, you're opening communication lines and trying to resolve the issue. So that's the boundary and capacity stuff. You have to set your own boundaries, even if no one else around you is modeling them. And perhaps especially so if no one else around you is modeling boundaries. Remember, everyone's capacity is different. So not only do we have no idea if our boss or our coworkers are equally as burnt out as we are, but maybe they're hiding it better, we also have no idea if maybe they're not burnt out, but they simply have a different threshold. Our capacities are all different. How many other jobs we have? Are we in school? What type of clients we see? How introverted we are? What other life stressors we have going on? All of these things matter. And they're not good or bad, they simply are. And so one dietitian is going to be okay seeing 30 patients a week and another is going to feel best at 10. Now, in addition to the boundaries and capacity, we have to deal with the issue of pay. Because maybe you feel your best at 10 to 15 clients a week, but that doesn't pay the bills. If you're self-employed, you might be able to raise your rates or work on other streams of income to supplement the one-on-one work if your threshold for one-on-ones is limited. Or maybe you start a group model. If you're not self-employed, if you in fact work for another dietitian in their practice, you aren't in charge of everything. So if you feel like you need to take on 25 to 30 clients just to get the income you're looking for and it's burning you out, or you don't have time or you aren't getting paid for all of the admin work you're responsible for, you have a few options. You can stay silent, decrease your hours at the practice, pick up side jobs per diem at a hospital or freelance writing, things like that, as long as it checks out with your contract with the group practice. You obviously can't violate any terms there, so know what that says about side income. For example, you often can't open up your own private practice while you work in a group practice, so that probably couldn't be a side income. So you can stick to the lower number of clients and supplement your income elsewhere. This isn't usually a great solution, though, because a low number of clients still has extra admin work tacked onto it, and a lot of dietitians want to be counseling, so they aren't really looking for other sources of income like per diem hospital work. I absolutely know and have worked with dietitians who love both, so it's a nice balance for them. And then I also know and have worked with dietitians who are like, nope, I am done with clinical, I want to counsel, and that's it. So if you feel like picking up a side hustle isn't going to work for you, then you're going to need to have a conversation with your boss. And not an easy one at that. Again, I highly encourage you to consult with someone before having this conversation, whether that's working through it in supervision or even therapy itself, because every boss is different and so is every situation. And when we're working with humans, we're also working with all their own stuff on top of all of our own stuff, and what we say and how we say it can significantly change how the other person perceives it and responds. Now, I don't have all the answers. I do know that we need to be communicating more and better, and that growing a team, leading a team, and being a part of a team are all hard things to do. And I know that dietitians across the country in group practices are super stressed out, and it's not okay. Some of it is stress we create for ourselves. Some of it is stress that's perpetuated by hustle culture. Some of it is fear-based and scarcity mindset-driven. All of it can be worked on. I love the idea of group practices. It is a beautiful way to get into private practice with some built-in mentorship. It's a phenomenal opportunity to give back and lift up the field. It's also a viable option for mitigating the risk of burnout across the board when it's done well. So I want to end today with my top tips for group practices. Number one, first and foremost, work on your own boundaries and self-care. Whether you're the owner or the employee, create a culture of rest and respect rather than hustle and grind. Number two, before you hire out, consider your options. Are you hiring out of desperation and panic because you've grown too much too fast and can't handle everything on your own anymore? Or are you hiring because you genuinely want to be a teacher and a mentor to nurture the dietitians on your team? There's no right or wrong answer here, but if it's the former, if you're feeling like hiring out is more of an emergency resolution than a calmly planned out long-term goal of yours, consider your other options and really do the work to ensure you're creating an environment that's conducive to fulfillment for both you and whoever you hire. When you do hire, if you do hire, do it firmly rooted in your values and on a business identity that you and your employees authentically align with. This isn't about putting a body in an office chair and hoping for the best. It's not even about finding someone who's some master counselor. It's about finding someone who is philosophically a good fit for your business. The same can be true for employees. When you're looking at practices, don't apply because it's a job. Pursue it because it aligns with your vision and your values, and pay attention to the culture of the practice. If you see these ads for these dietitians who are looking to hire a like quote-unquote motivated and hardworking candidate for a quote-unquote busy and high-energy practice, those are red flags for me for hustle culture. You can apply, but please take time to consider what your responsibilities will be in the practice and whether the benefits outweigh those initial red flags. And lastly, communicate, 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 communicate. Like, this is tip number 4 through 10. Have a vested interest in each other's well-being and capacities. Validate vulnerability. Create safe spaces for hard conversations. And be willing to work like a team on how to resolve issues that arise. We work too hard, at least in America. I can't speak for other countries. We work way too hard. We're all overworked and underfulfilled, and we're hurting. We have the power to change that, starting with our own businesses and our own professional lives. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you're looking for more content like this to help you overcome burnout, imposter feelings, and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from feeling confident and passionate about your work, sign up for my email list at www.empoweringdietitians.com/newsletter, and let's stay connected. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/newsletter. And one last thing. If you found this episode valuable, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends and leave a positive review. Those two things help this podcast reach more dietitians who need to hear these messages. And together, we can really start to change the landscape of our profession for the better.